Today on the 10-12 podcast, myself, Daniel, and Chris are making picks for every Week 9 Big 12 game. We're joined by a friend of the pod, Kelly Ford, a.k.a. K Ford Ratings, to talk the Shine Bowl, the Battle for the Tent Trophy, Oklahoma at Kansas, every game on the docket.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the 10-12, the podcast that covers all 14 teams in the Big 12 Conference, plus Colorado, Utah, Arizona, and Arizona State. We are the flagship show of the 10-12 Network. Find every show in the network at 1012network.com. That's T-E-N, the number 12, the word network. And we are partners with Sport Social, Europe's biggest sports podcast network. Go check them out. I am your host, Philip Slavin. Thank you for joining us for our picks episode. Every episode is someone's first, so let's break down how this works. We will pick every Big 12 team or game against the spread or over under and one non-Big 12 game. Joining me, as they do every Thursday, to make picks, he is our pro picker. He is the guy we go to for creative stats and interesting data. He is Daniel Alexander.
Hey, I feel like I'm catching up to first place here. I didn't finish last this week. So I'll take it. Let's keep it running.
You did not. We will talk about what happened last week in just a minute. And I know one person who doesn't want to do that. He is the LGGOG himself. He is Chris Ross.
Yeah, spoiler alert. I came in last. Thanks, Daniel.
It's okay. It's all right.
Hey, you're going to have those weeks. It is what it is.
It happens to the best, right? Like, yeah. It happens to everyone. One person who is hoping that it won't happen to him is this week's guest. This is the last week of the season, the last idle week in the Big 12. So for the rest of the year, the regular season, 7 games a week for the Big 12. So this is the last week for a guest. And so we're ending it. I mean, I don't want to insult any of our previous guests that have been on here and say that we've saved the best for last. But I'll just say that we have 2 guests every year that we make sure to schedule first and everyone else fills in. One is Chase, who was here 2 weeks ago. The other one is friend of the podcast. He is Kelly Ford from thelines.com and the We Hate Your Team podcast. Kelly, welcome back, man.
Hey, Philip, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. It's always fun coming on this podcast with you, Daniel, Chris. This is going to be great, man. I can't wait. I say it every time I come on with you, and I want to say it again. As I have continued to grow the K Ford Ratings brand, grow in the podcast space, grow in the college football writing space, like all of it, dude, comes back to a couple of guest appearances that I made during the 2021 season. One was on Statistically Speaking with Kyle and Blinken, Oklahoma and Texas guys, still in the Big 12 for at least a few more months here. And the other one, the 10-12 Network podcast with you, Philip. So I am eternally grateful for what this podcast has done for me, what this podcast means to me, and what this podcast means to the Big 12 Conference, one of my favorite conferences in all of college football. It's only going to get better next year with the 16-team league. So I really appreciate it. I'm so excited to be here. And man, you guys have talked about the streaks that the guests have been on. I'm really hoping that I can end the season for the guests on a high note, but oh man, it's a tall task. It's hard. Picking games is hard, as you guys know, and I'm really looking forward to picking the Week 9 slate of Big 12 games.
And as we say, it's not just picking games. Like, it's one thing if you get to pick the games you want to pick. It's when you're forced to pick certain games, then you just have to, let's just say it this way. Like, Daniel has said it, and he says it every time. He'll tell you when he's going to have a real money down on a game. He does not have real money on every game, but this is what we do because we're a Big 12 show. Kelly, it's always a pleasure to have you here. Take a seat for a second because we're going to recap what happened last week. I was last week's winner. I went 4-3. Big winning week right there. Daniel came in second at 3-4. Grayson, our guest, the first guest, best performance guest has had at 3-4. And Chris went 1-6 last week. Let's break these down. 1-6 for Chris. Let's just knock this out of the way. Let's pull it, rip off the Band-Aid. You hit on Kansas State, -6.5 versus TCU. The misses were Oklahoma, -18.5. Cincinnati versus 3.5 versus Baylor. West Virginia, -3.5 versus OSU. Texas, -23.5 versus Houston. Texas Tech, -3 versus BYU. And Oregon, -20. 1-6 on the week brings your total to 31-37.
Yeah, rough week for sure. Hey, Oklahoma State looks like a completely different team. One of you, the Cowboys, we'll get into this more, but the Cowboys, after 3 weeks, look like maybe the worst team in the Big 12. 3 weeks after that, they look like probably the third best behind OU and Texas. It's wild. But also, in my defense, OU came out flatter than day-old soda. And after an extra week to prepare after the Texas game, and then who could have predicted the Quentin Ewers injury, right? Like, Texas was well on their way to cover that game. So it is what it is. It's a rough week. We'll try to get past it.
That game, they weren't covering that game when Quentin was still in.
But was it like 21-0?
That was in the first quarter. Like, oh, Quinn played until like
he got
the
injured
fourth.
After that. Yeah.
No, he played until the fourth quarter. Like, Houston made that comeback before Texas. That still wasn't covering.
True.
Four scores spread.
Hey, give it to me.
Okay. Whatever you need, man. Like I said, our guest Grayson went 3-4, brings the guest total to 7-19. Kelly, the bar is still very, very low for you. Daniel, 3-4 on the week. Hit on Baylor, +3.5 for Cincinnati. Hit on the over 49.5 in West Virginia, Oklahoma State. And hit on Charlotte, +7. The misses were Oklahoma, -18.5. Texas, -23.5 versus Houston. Texas Tech, -3 versus BYU. And the over 59 in Kansas State, TCU. 3-4 on the week brings your total to 34-34. 500, baby.
That over K-State, that was painful. I mean, you go back and, you know, you look at the spreadsheet, you look at the box score, that over should have hit. They were on pace for it there until about halftime. That the second half just died. And the TCU really surprised me. I guess BYU and TCU surprised me. I didn't expect that outcome, but there we are. The other two, those giant spreads, I'm not as, you know, not totally surprised.
Hate
this week.
Hate giant spreads. Hate them. Hate them. With every fiber of my being, hate them. I went 4-3, hit on the over 49.5 in West Virginia, Oklahoma State, hit on BYU +3.5. BYU wins weird games. Texas Tech plays weird games. Like, if BYU is going to be in a weird one, ride with the Cougs. Hit on Kansas State, -6.5 for TCU, and hit on the under 34.5 in Navy Air Force because Service Academy unders. They just make money. Missed on the Oklahoma, -18.5. Missed on the under 50.5 in Cincinnati, Baylor. And missed on the over 61 in Houston, Texas. Had Houston scored to send that game into overtime, the over would have hit. But a bad third down spot, and then, frankly, also a bad fourth down play call, kept that under there. What bothers me about that one, that is the second time this season I had something written down in my notes and did the opposite. The first one was the OU Cincinnati where I took OU to cover 14.5 and I had my notes that said if it's over 14, don't do it. And then I had if it's 61 or more, take the under. And then I sat here in the pod and went like, nah, stupid notes. What do you know? Let's take the over. And I should have just ride with the notes, Philip. You work on these notes all day, 2 days, ride with the notes. So we'll stick with the notes today for the games that I have notes on, just some of them. Not so much others. All right. Y'all ready to make some picks for week 9 of the Big 12?
Yeah, let's do it.
We have a 6-game slate and, of course, a non-Big 12 pick to make as well. We do this the same way every single week. We go in chronological order. We have 3 games in the Big 12 that kick off at 11 a.m. I was the victor last week, which means I have to go first. So we're going to kick things off with Kansas State. Nope, just kidding. I'm doing things. Yeah. I've got Kansas State Houston on the list. That's right. Okay. You said UCF earlier, Daniel, in the pre-recording, and it completely threw off my whole thing here. I'm gonna throw you under the bus. Okay. We're taking Kansas State at home versus Houston as of now. The Wildcats are 17.5-point favorites. I do see some 17s out there. Total at 58.5. I do think I see some 59s. I got to remember to go get a couple other places lines up. Oh, man. Look, part of me really wants to take Kansas State to cover this, which kind of goes against my whole, like, I really like what Donovan Smith has been doing for Houston and think he's going to continue to play fairly well. Like, he is on a, what, 5-game run now where he has been very efficient, very effective, hasn't been turning over the ball. Like, I really like what he's been doing for Houston. Houston has been playing better each week. But you had what happened in the game you had circled on your calendar all year against Texas. There is no way you're going to get up as emotionally for a road game at Kansas State as you did for a home game against Texas and even a home game against West Virginia when you were still just trying to find your first Big 12 win and feel like the season wasn't going to fall apart. Like, I don't think Houston performs as well in this game as they have the last 2 weeks on the road at Kansas State, who still has a good defense. All of that said, I'm taking the under. Because the under feels like the right play here. Because as you noted, Daniel, Kansas State gets up, and if they can get up in a game, they're going to just play, slow it down, run the ball, not worry about score, put the game away, and get out of there. If they can get up by a few touchdowns, they don't need style points. They're not interested in trying to blow anybody out. If they blow you out, it's because your defense couldn't get some basic stops. Kansas State is perfectly fine to just stand there and hold the ball for an entire second half and then go home with a W. So with a total at 58.5, now I said I got 259s. I see them at Caesars and Station. Daniel?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's live. Yeah.
All right. Then give me the under 59 in Kansas State. Houston. Let's see. Daniel, you're up next, sir. What would you like?
This game has the law of Dana written all over it. So look, I agree with you. I agree with you in the sense of, you know, if Kansas State can get up, looking at last week, they sort of had a boa constrictor type vibe in that second half, totally slowed the game down. Because I agree with that, because I think that is a strong possibility, especially with them as, you know, 17.5-point favorites, I have to take the over. It's like, whatever, right? We talk about it every week or almost every other week. It's like, whatever you think is going to happen in a Dana game, it's like, that's not what happens. We took Houston, what was it, against BYU or who? No, you know, West Virginia a couple weeks ago, and it's like, they shouldn't have covered that game or won it. So give me the over because it doesn't make any sense. Because I agree with you, this is a Dana game. I would love to catch a Kansas State over once this year, once in my lifetime. So give me a 58.5 over this Kansas State-Houston game.
I like it. All right. Chris?
Yeah, I mean, is that Texas or Houston wouldn't have covered it, except for that one Hail Mary. So, man, this game's tough. I liked it. It opened at like 16.5 and moved to 17.5. Is that right?
Sure. I'm not going to confirm.
I liked it better under the 17. Stuff, but, you know, Kansas State's looking good. Will Howard's playing clean the last couple of weeks. No picks for him after kind of an ugly start to the season in turnovers. The Wildcats, they look solid. I think they're doing pretty good. Efficiency likes Kansas State by, 21.4? So even with the 17.5, I think I still have to take the Cats to cover at home.
All right, KSU.
Oh, and it's going to be cold. I don't know how Houston's going to take that.
Let's see, best I can get you. Actually, I've got 2 17s at Station and Win.
Perfect. Thank you.
All right, Kelly.
All right. I have to start with my professional disclaimer obligation comment. I work in college athletics at a Division I conference office. Because I'm a collegiate athletics administrator, I am prohibited from actually placing bets on any sport event that the NCAA sponsors. The NCAA does sponsor football. The conference in which I work does not, but because the NCAA does, I cannot actually place my own money or give official picks for these things. I am allowed to talk about what my numbers say and all those things. So everyone knows I am not actually placing these bets that I am saying what the side of my number would lean on here, just for the record. But I'm going to, Phillip, I'm going to take Kansas State minus 17. If you're given a 17, I'm going to take that minus 17. I would have done 17 and a half even. I'm also, throughout the show here, as people might remember from the past, but just a reminder, my model, I really lean into the spread numbers. Yes, I have over-under totals. I don't publish those publicly, to at least currently, to the public, because to me, that is a strictly betting application. Whereas a spread, you know, you can actually talk about, you know, the relative talent discrepancy between two teams. I think that makes more sense. It has to go with win probabilities and things like that, that I'm able to extrapolate season long projections for. Totals, that's strictly betting. And so I'm all for anyone else who wants to do that. And if that's where you want to go, if that's where the most value is, great. All my picks are going to be against the spread here tonight. So give me Kansas State minus the 17. Guys, Kansas State right now, this is a good football team. I've got number 20 in my most deserving rankings. That's the best they've been, most deserving ranked all year. There's only a 76% chance the average top 25 team would have a 5-2 record or better against Kansas State's schedule. That's number 23 nationally, the best they've been all year. Outscoring their opponents by 7.4 points per game, more than would be expected of the average top 25 team against Kansas State's schedule. That's number 11 nationally, the best they've been all year. And that's all resume stuff. So that doesn't help us make the pick. For making the pick, Kansas State has a KFOR rating of 17.7. They're number 14 in the country right now by my numbers. Those are both the best they've been all year. This Kansas State team is peaking, and they're peaking at the right time. My numbers like them by 20 and a half in this game, so I will take the 17. They have the number 11 offense, the number 28 defense. Houston, they have the number 101 defense. This is the worst opposing defense that Kansas State is going to play all year by my numbers. The Houston offense, though, they're up to a season best number 25. So I actually do think the Houston offense has the advantage on that side of the ball, but not nearly the advantage that the Kansas State offense does. The only thing to note here for Kansas State in terms of maybe they don't cover, are they peaking ahead? There's a massive, massive game next week in Austin against the Texas Longhorns. I hope Kansas State is fully focused on Houston, because if they're not, I could see them winning, but certainly not covering. And since I'm making a pick against the spread here, I hope Kansas State is focused on this one. Guys, Kansas State to me has the third best chances to make the Big 12 championship behind Oklahoma and Texas. A win here doesn't really help them because the win expectancy is so high. A loss would be hugely detrimental to the Wildcats' chances to make that Big 12 championship game. It's next week's game. I'd definitely be tuning in to see who you guys are picking in that one, or what the value is there, because that one's going to be great. And this one, give me Kansas State minus 17, Phillip.
Hey, something on the look ahead there. This is in Manhattan, Kansas. Is this homecoming?
I actually don't know if that is homecoming. They've got two more home games later. They got Baylor in week 11 and they got Iowa State in week 13. So I don't know when they scheduled their homecoming, but there are a couple more chances for them. I'm not sure though.
Yeah. If it is homecoming, it might help against the look ahead.
It is homecoming.
Nice. I like that.
It's good.
So there you go. There we go. All right. I like it. All right. Let's move on down. We got it. As I said, 3:11 a.m. kickoffs. We have what we are affectionately calling the Shine Bowl. It is Sunshine versus Moonshine. West Virginia on the road at UCF.
Love it. That's awesome.
That's awesome.
I can't. Hold on. I have to. Let me pull up my. I can't remember who actually shared that on Twitter, and now I can't remember, and I hate that because I said it on Monday's show. Go back and listen. I gave proper credit then. I can't keep remembering to give credit. It's the best. It's the best thing I've seen. I made a dumb trophy for it, and I'll post it on social because there's nothing I love more than wasting half an hour in Illustrator making dumb fake trophies. I'm sorry I'm rambling, but I don't care. At the moment, UCF is a 7-point favorite. Pretty consistent across the board in this one. Total 58. I see some 58 and a halves if that is something that tickles your fancy. Daniel, you are up first, sir. What would you like?
UCF, I mean, all the credit in the world for the game that they gave Oklahoma last week. It was exciting. It was fun. It's a great game. Oklahoma obviously got away with the win. UCF, as massive dogs, kept it close, crushed the spread. Now they have to turn around and come back and win by more than a touchdown against a West Virginia team that, Are they a little overrated? I think, in the record, yes, but to think that they can't come down and hang with a team like UCF after UCF just gave Oklahoma everything they got. I just feel like this is a good spot here for West Virginia. You know, conference road dog catching a touchdown in a game where UCF left it all on the field. I'm going to take the Mountaineers here. So what am I taking? I'm taking Moonshine plus +7. Yes. So let's go. Moonshine plus +7 here. And, again, no disrespect to Gus or the team or anything like that. I just think it's hard to just turn right back around and go win this game by margin.
I love it. I love it. All right, Chris.
Yeah, I'm actually with Daniel here. UCF, they did great against OU. I don't think OU had the best game plan last weekend, but all credit to UCF. But still, four in a row losses. That's tough. West Virginia coming off a couple losses on their own. I like West Virginia to kind of get it going a little bit more than I like UCF. I mean, yes, this is at UCF, like at home for them, but we saw what happened with the Baylor game. Give me West Virginia.
All right, Kelly.
Awesome. I feel like we're definitely going to lose because of all the consensus we have here. But I'm taking Moonshine plus +7 too. Give me West Virginia plus +7. My numbers in this one like UCF by 6. So honestly, there's not a lot of value here between my projected spread and Vegas, but I got to make a pick, and here's where I'm going. I'm going with West Virginia in the points. For me, guys, what has happened to West Virginia in the last couple of weeks? West Virginia fans have given me, headaches in the past on social media and telling me that I don't respect their team enough. I had West Virginia number 14 in my most deserving rankings after week 6, coming out of their bye week, their off week. Now they've lost at Houston. They've lost to Oklahoma State. They've fallen down the most deserving. They've fallen a little bit in the power ratings. They're number 52 in the power ratings, the number 49 offense, the number 65 defense. UCF, they have a season best, number 20. On offense right now, coming out of that game that they did. They gave Oklahoma everything they could handle. Bottom line, though, they haven't won a game since week 3. I mean, they've lost 4 in a row. They had an off week in there. They're going to be emotionally, I would think, exhausted. Like Daniel said, they gave Oklahoma everything they had on the road. My numbers still like UCF to win. I just don't know if they can cover the 7 points. My numbers like the offense on the two offenses in this game, though. So I do think there's going to be some points here. UCF's power rated 35. Give me West Virginia plus +7. My numbers make it UCF minus -6. Oh, please come with us, Philip.
No, hold on. I'm scrolling back. Because it, when it's typically 3-on-1, right, the one is right. last week, I took the over instead of Houston. I was off. I should have taken Houston. Grayson took the over instead of UCF. He should have taken UCF. It is almost to a point dead on. That when three of us pick one team, you should always pick the other. It never, ever fails. It is just the most ridiculous thing in the world. Because here's the problem. I think I agree with you guys. Here's the deal. Teams are rushing 7.3% more than average against UCF. UCF's run defense, 114 PPA allowed per rush, 132nd in rushing success allowed, 132nd in offensive line yards allowed, 120th in defensive success rate against the run, 111th in EPA per rush. UCF sucks against the rush. Hey, you know what? I know West Virginia doesn't actually have the best offensive line in the country, like Neil Brown claimed, but it is a good offensive line, and CJ Donaldson is a good running back. They're going to be able to run the ball well. We also just saw Ollie Gordon run all over West Virginia, and they have a decent defensive line and defense. UCF is a team that likes to run the ball, and if John Rhys Plumlee is healthy, he's a decent running quarterback. Like, this feels like a game where there's going to be a lot of running, which typically would make me want to lean towards the under. Two running teams, we're going to lean towards the under. West Virginia's offense has been playing much better. Their defense has struggled. UCF's defense has just had a decent performance against Oklahoma. The offense has been a little better. The numbers tell me, take West Virginia. Parker's got basically UCF by 7. Room 44 has got UCF by 3.5. TSU has a UCF by 5.8. As Kelly said, by 6. Like, everything screams, take West Virginia. Take a total. I don't care what any of it says. I have learned a valuable lesson on this podcast, and I'm not going to ignore it. UCF minus 7. Just, I can't.
It's free money. Go for it.
It's
great move.
Look, trends matter. And in this podcast, the trend says if three people take one team, take the other. Just do it. So I will not ignore the trend. I am not so smart to do so. All right, we got one more 11 a.m. game. That is Oklahoma on the road at the Kansas Jayhawks. This game is big noon kickoff. Fox's big noon show is going to be there. There are still tickets available for this. What do y'all do in Kansas? Come on, I know basketball season is here, but you can skip the scrimmage and the exhibition game and buy the tickets and go to this. This is where you need to be hosting Oklahoma. I know it's Jason Bean, again, starting at quarterback. Y'all, I don't think Jalen Daniels is going to come back, but we could talk about that another day. Oklahoma on the road, a 10-point favorite total. Mostly 65. I do see some 65 and a halves if anyone is of interest in that. Chris, you're up first, sir. What would you like?
Yeah, I don't think Kansas fans are going to have any problems showing up to this game. I mean, who doesn't love the Kansas story right now? They're building, they're a solid squad. Jason Bean, you know, he's a decent quarterback in his own right. He's, you know, has wheels. He can move. He's going to be a headache for OU. But I think the worst thing that happened for Kansas was Oklahoma's performance last week. They just came out flat. They came out uninspired. And I like Venables to kind of have this team back and focused. And unfortunately for Kansas, put on a show. The efficiency, BCF, they like they have this over a 14-point game, actually. I'm going to take OU to cover, but if I'm wrong on this one, I won't hate it.
Kelly?
Philip, I see, and again, I don't know if this is right or not. I see it looks like on DraftKings Sportbook, based on what I'm looking at, I see an Oklahoma minus 9. So I don't know if that's playable. I don't know if that's eligible here or who we have to run that by. If we can't do 9, I'll do Oklahoma 10. My numbers think Oklahoma is going to win this one by about 15.5. So I just don't think that even at 10, I mean, I don't think Kansas is going to be able to cover that one here, even though they're at home. Oklahoma is a phenomenal football team. This is a team that I had number 14 coming into the year. They quickly rose up into the top three. They are this week number 4. It's the lowest they've been for, you know, almost a month and a half. They were number 2 for 3 straight weeks. They're now number 4 for me in the power ratings. They're outscoring their opponents by 14.1 points per game, more than would be expected of the average top 25 team. That is third nationally in my relative scoring margin metric. The offense is number 6 in the entire country. The defense is number 20. That's been where the improvement has been. I thought that Venables would get it figured out and the defense would be improved. I had them number 40 coming into the year. They're number 20. Like, that side of the ball has been really good, much improved. The offense has been great, as we expected. The Kansas offense, I have number 12 nationally right now. And hey, I know we got the backup quarterback in there. I think he's pretty good in his own right, as has been mentioned. It's season high, number 12 ranking. But the problem is that Kansas defense, I've talked about it before. It's why Kansas fans always get mad at me. And I only gave him a 44% chance to go bowling. That number's now all the way up to a 94% chance. Like, I think it's going to happen. I'm just not sure it's going to happen this week at home against Oklahoma. So my numbers have Oklahoma minus 15.5. I'll take Oklahoma and lay the points in this one, no matter what it is. I mean, 10 there is fine. So that's what my play will be. I just think Oklahoma's too good. In terms of what this does for Oklahoma's chances to make the Big 12 championship game and make the playoff, right now I have a 95% chance that Oklahoma makes the Big 12 championship. It's not going to get helped much by winning a game that I've got you projected as a 2-score favorite in. If they lose, they still have an 82% chance to make it to Arlington. So Oklahoma's pretty well locked in at this point to the Big 12 championship. The leverage here, though, is for the CFP. Currently a 78% chance to make it by my numbers. That's number 2 nationally behind only Florida State. 85% chance to make it with a win. If Oklahoma loses here, that chance to make the CFP currently would fall all the way down to a 41% chance. So again, in this 4-team format, it's very important that teams don't stub their toes, especially in games in which you are not projected to lose. So there's a lot on the line for Oklahoma, even though it may not feel like it for Sooner fans. Every single game for your sights on the CFP, every single game is very important here. Give me Oklahoma, I'll lay the points.
Daniel, are we allowing DraftKings?
Yeah, if they're the only one of the 9, that has to be a mistake. This is this all thing. I'm just saying, like, it's been
all good.
10.
Yeah, all good. Keep, put it on 10. I'm looking at the over at thelines.com where I do the writing. They always link it to these sport books, right? For all the articles I write. I'm not betting, but they always link it. So I pull that up whenever I have to do spreads. And they've got like 7 different books listed. I saw the 9 there highlighted in yellow. So it's like, this is your best one. So I was like, hey, I'll shoot for it. But yeah, 10's great. I'll take the 10.
Yeah, they're the only 9 I can find. Everyone else, hold on. Let me.
All good. Don't waste time on it, Philip. Give me the 10 and let's roll. I'm all good. Watch. They're gonna win by 9 now. Watch.
No, this is a push for sure.
Look, I mean, Oklahoma getting the scare they did takes away the fact that mm-hmm. Kansas is coming off the built-in benefits of Kansas coming off their idle week and Kansas getting this game at home. Like I said, the stadium's still not sold out. So you're not like at this point. I've seen OU fans talking about like they're going to be down there. There might be a decent OU contingent at this stadium on Saturday. Mm-hmm. So like we're going to take the potential home field out of it for Kansas. You just had OU get their scare. And I am concerned about something. The back half of the schedule last year, Kansas's defense really started like they played better in the front half and they played better in the front half this season. And they've been opportunistic and they've played smart plays and they've done enough. They struggled in the back half of the schedule last year as the season went on and depth became an issue and guys got tired. I know they're coming off of their idle week, but if you look the last couple of weeks, like the offense struggled against Oklahoma State before the week off. The defense couldn't get enough stop, couldn't get the stops they needed to hold on to, a decent second half lead or halftime lead. Kansas second half against UCF, that's they got all 22 points in the second half. You know, I know Texas was already up 13-7 at half, but then they put up another 27 in the second half. Like, I'm concerned the second half defense stuff for Kansas is going to start rearing its ugly head and already has both second half of the season and the second half of games. And this is a defense that, look, I do think that they are better in spots and at certain positions. And I do think they can be very opportunistic, even more so than they were last year. But you're still looking at a defense that's 93rd in EPA per pass on defense, 77th in EPA per rush, 117th in echo rate. Like, they're just not very good. Oklahoma's offense is good and efficient. Yes, it has a weakness at running back, but like this is not the defense that's going to exploit that. And then the offense for Kansas is really good, even with Jason Bean. But the defense for Oklahoma is very good. Defense travels. Like, the total is a little bit too high for me to want to touch because I can see a close to under. Like, I could see a 61-62 scenario. I could see a higher scoring scenario because Kansas offense does enough. I think OU's the right side here. Like, I get Oklahoma at 10. I understand what happened last week. No one's going to go perfect against the spread. It's not going to happen. OU's still now, 6-1 against the spread and has covered numerous double digits. Last week was insanely high. It's 10 points against Kansas. I know it's on the road. I think this is a spot where it's not like Oklahoma's worried, like looking ahead to OSU next week. They got their scare last week. I hate to be in total agreement here, but like OU minus 10, let's roll.
And just teed it up for Daniel.
Yep. Here you go, Daniel. on a silver platter, sir.
Yeah, I mean, I have to take Kansas plus 10. But listen, Kansas has not covered a double-digit spread in the Big 12 since when they beat West Virginia at the beginning of last year. Like, you know, I'm just saying, something's up. Lance has some troubles, you know, when he's a big dog right now. And if we recall, too, when Kansas won 55-42 against West Virginia – early last season, Kansas sort of hadn't arrived yet. Do you know what I mean? They weren't totally on the radar. You know, there was some excitement, but there wasn't value yet, or excuse me, there was still value in the books taking Kansas. Since then, they pushed against Oklahoma last year as a 10-point dog. They didn't cover as an 11-point dog against Baylor last year. They did not cover as an 11.5-point dog against Kansas State. And then this year, it was a 16-17-point dog against Texas. You know, they got blown out. So, they have not handled being in the spot of being a double-digit dog very well of, you know, sort of in the last year and a half. I do think Oklahoma is probably going to cover this spread. I don't know that the Kansas offense Basically, the defense isn't good enough to stop the Oklahoma O, and I don't know that the Kansas offense can keep them within single digits. But because everyone rolled with Oklahoma here, I have to go take Kansas and take a shot. So Kansas plus 10, even though I don't think they're going to pull it off.
Got to follow the trend.
Oh, can I hop in?
Yeah.
Can I hop in real quick on that? Daniel, you mentioned that last year, 55-42 Kansas-West Virginia game. I will always remember that game because as I do my what-if rankings and that scenario of, hey, flip every one possession and OT college football game to have the opposite result, had to put in the and OT because that game, despite it ended up being, what, a 13-point game or whatever it was, that was an overtime game that ended, of course, with a pick six, I think it was, that was run back, and Kansas ends up winning really by multiple scores, even though it was overtime. So I will always remember that game, Daniel, because of what it did to my definition of the what-if standings and rankings. So that was a fun game and forever changed my outlook on one-possession games.
Just incredible stuff. Absolutely incredible stuff. Look, Kansas is always incredible. So is the Kansas gear you can find at Charlie Hustle, like the varsity jackets, of which there are numerous, and they are great. Well, they've got deals with Kansas basketball players, and so they've got some fantastic stuff if you're a fan of a Kansas player, like maybe Jalen Daniels. You're a big fan of him. They've got some a very cool t-shirt. Hunter Dickinson. They've got Kevin McCuller here. What else we got? KJ Adams. Oh, the Kansas stuff is fantastic. The varsity jackets for all the Big 12 teams that they have, Kansas State, Baylor, Iowa State ones, are fantastic. In fact, everything that they have Big 12 related at Charlie Hustle is fantastic. Of course, Charlie Hustle Company, the vintage-inspired clothing company based out of Kansas City that specializes in collegiate and hometown apparel. Charlie Hustle wants you to be the best-dressed fan this season, football or basketball or volleyball, if that's also your thing. So be sure to check out their wide selection of officially licensed collegiate apparel today. Man, the stuff on here is so good. The UCF stuff that they just dropped. Even UCF fans were like, oh, this is good. This is good stuff. The Citronaut shirt. Like, I even if you're not a UCF fan, like, that's fine. I don't know how anyone's like, I wouldn't even buy. Like, no. They have two Citronaut shirts. The newest one is on a blue shirt. And he's got, it says out of this. It's so freaking awesome. I love it. So UCF, go back to it. They've got a bounce house shirt for UCF fans you're going to want to check out. So go to charliehustle.com. I almost said UCF. Go to charliehustle.com. Check out the more than 30 schools that they have available, including every Big 12 team except for Cincinnati. They do have Colorado. Use the promo code 101215, TEN1215, for 15% off all non-sale items. It's great if you want to make sure that you're ready to go for the end of football season or the start of basketball season. Maybe you want to go do some shopping for the holidays on there. Use that promo code 101215, 15% off all non-sale items. Go shop today at charliehustle.com. Charlie Hustle, vintage made fresh. Let's continue on down the line. We have an 11:30 kickoff in the Big 12. 2:30 p.m. kickoff in the Big 12 on ABC. Texas in Austin hosting BYU. This is a series where the BYU has, weirdly enough, kind of dominated in the past. Been a while since these two have faced off, but BYU's taking care of business. For this particular game on Saturday, reminder, no Quinn Ewers for Texas for a few weeks. That doesn't seem to matter to Vegas. Texas, 17.5 point favorite. I think I see an 18 if that's something you really want. Total around 50.5. Kelly, you're up first, sir. What would you like?
Yeah, I know you guys talked about at the top how, and Philip, you especially despise these big spreads. And I've already taken Kansas State -17. I'm going to do it here too. I'm going to take Texas -17.5. Guys, my numbers have Texas -23.5, but it's not explicitly accounting for the Ewers injury here. Now, is any quarterback in college football worth 6 points, which is essentially what this would be? I don't think so. Do I think Texas is going to cover this anyway, though? Like, I have my reservations about that too, but I'm going to go with the model here. Texas, guys, it's the number 10 offense in the entire country. The number 11 defense is a really balanced team. They're power rated number 7 for me overall. Texas right now in my most deserving rankings, number 6. So they are still right up there. They're right in this mix for the CFP. I've got them with a 13% chance to make it to the CFP right now. But they still, I mean, they control their own destiny, if you will, in terms of making it to the CFP. I truly don't believe we're going to end up with, you know, 4 or more Power 5 conference champions. And if Texas runs the table and gets revenge on Oklahoma, they've got the win over Alabama in the non-conference that Oklahoma does not have to go along with their Big 12 championship. I personally don't subscribe to that game means any more than the one we saw at the Texas State Fair, but the committee does, and that's what's important here. So Texas still has everything in front of them, everything they want: a Big 12 championship, a college football playoff spot. They have to win. They know that. They need to look good doing it. They know that too. So I think Texas minus 17.5 here is the play that I'm going to go with. BYU, this Texas defense is the best opposing defense that BYU is going to face all year. The BYU offense only number 70. So I have real concerns about how many points BYU is going to be able to score on the road here in Austin. The good news for BYU, if there is any, their defense is at a season best number 43. So I still have that Texas offense top 10. I expect them to get the better of the Cougs defense, but the defense right now for BYU is playing better than I've had them playing all year. BYU, they're a team that I, quite honestly, I thought would struggle a little bit making the transition from independence to the Power 5 here in the Big 12. I only had a 41% chance to make a bowl in the preseason. That is now up to an 81% chance. They are just one win away. There's not a single game remaining on the schedule in which my numbers make BYU a favorite, but they have 3 games that they're of an underdog of less than a touchdown. That's at West Virginia, home to Iowa State, and at Oklahoma State. So the numbers think they'll get at least one of those and get bowl eligible. Either way, it's been a really good year for BYU, their transition into the Power 5 ranks.
I said at the top of the show, BYU wins weird games, right? Like, if a game is going to be normal, I don't feel good about BYU this season. Sam Houston game was fairly normal, and they struggled. They got the win. Southern Utah, it's a FCS game. Arkansas, weird game, got the win. Kansas, weird game that went against them because they turned the ball over and Kansas had defensive scores. Cincinnati, weird game. Cincinnati does what Cincinnati does, outgains you but does not score you. TCU, they just were bad. And then Texas Tech, weird game. So now you're going to Texas against the best defense you faced, with an offense where it's Keaton Slovis or bust, and a defense that if it can force turnovers, if it can be weird, it can keep them in the game. Like, I think Texas covers this, but I don't trust Texas enough to cover, to take a 17.5 point spread. That said, you're getting a backup quarterback who's been there for a while. He turned down other offers to go elsewhere. I have real questions of whether or not he'll stay in Austin in this offseason because, you know, Arch Manning's back there in the wings. And again, Malik Murphy's going to get offers. I am subscribing to the backup's going to come in and his first game in, he's going to look electric. Because that's what happens in the Big 12 a lot. Backup comes in, looks fantastic for a game. Looks awesome. Gonna play great. Gonna build up some momentum. Gonna build up what his stock and how much it's gonna cost to get him out of Austin in this offseason and get him into the transfer portal and to leave because he doesn't want to wait behind Quinn Ewers and Arch Manning anymore. And then he'll be mediocre to whatever the next 2 weeks when he has to fill in, and we'll see how that goes against Kansas State. But this week, he'll be good. And the Texas defense will play well after its weird game against Houston last week. I don't trust Texas. That game plan makes it sound like I should take Texas by 17.5. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to take the under because I still feel good about Texas unders. I think the best I can do is 50.5. I think that's the total, the highest I see. I see Wynn and Station with it. And so that's Daniel Field confirmed for me. I'm going to take the under 50.5. I just feel so much better about unders with Texas most of the time. Again, I should have done it last week. It would have paid off for me, and I didn't. Then I'm going to ride with it again. Daniel?
So my line, if you don't account for home field advantage, raw number was Texas minus 19. You know, I'll lean into that Texas will have some amount of home field advantage. So it's like with Quinn, maybe this line's minus 20, minus 20.5, something like that. A quarterback at his level, look, it is hard to gauge. I don't know exactly what he is worth to the spread. But when we're talking about a game with a total of 50, And as already been mentioned here, a BYU defense that is on the up right now, right? Like they're performing better than they have been throughout the season. I'm just going to be very surprised if Texas comes out and wins this game by, 20 or more points. 38-20 is even higher than what Vegas is saying. So it's like 37-17 is even too high. It's like, man, is BYU really going to be held to 15 points? Are we really looking at like a 34-14 type win here? 31-17 doesn't even get Texas home on the spread. 31-14. So it's like, it seems like a tall order for this Texas team to come out and just roll like they've been rolling. With, we'll argue, an almost Heisman, caliber quarterback going down. So I got to take BYU. You got some 18s there. I'm seeing 18s at some offshore books, if we're going to allow it. But I thought this line would be hammered more, with Quinn's injury. I was surprised to see it open where it did. I didn't want to say it was a mistake, but I thought, oh, people are going to come in and take this on the other side of 17 for sure. It might even close there. It might get some steam day of the game. But give me the points here with BYU.
I have an 18 at South Point and an 18.5 at DraftKings.
We'll go 18 flat. South Point's real. South Point's respected. So fantastic. If they're hanging an 18 right now, that's a real line.
BYU plus 18. Yeah, I looked for a 17. I don't find a 17 anywhere for those taking Texas. So, but I can get you 18. Very nice. Chris.
Yeah, that 17.5 seems like a big number with yours out. But the reality is, I feel like this is a line that should be closer to 21-22 if yours was playing. And I also don't think the drop-off behind yours, yes, he's an elite quarterback. Yeah, he's very good. But Texas has a lot of talent in the wings. What is the drop-off going to be? And even if the backup doesn't play well, you have
Malik
Manning
Murphy
behind him. Yeah. Yeah, you have Manning behind him. So the other side of it is BYU is a little up and down, especially on the road. The last two road trips have not gone well for them. Their last road game, TCU lit them up pretty good, held them to 11. I still like Texas to get the cover here. I'm going to take the Longhorns. And have Kelly and I picked opposite at all yet?
Nope.
Yeah, that's always... Hey,
Chris, that's good, though. That means neither one of us can finish solo last, man. We're good. Let's keep it rolling.
Lockstep.
We'll just be last together.
Lockstep. I will leave this final note on Quinn. Like, you call him elite. He had a really good game against Alabama. I don't give all the credit to Texas success this season to Quinn Ewers.
Where would you put him in the Big 12?
Him in the Big 12?
Yeah.
That would make me go through and think about where I would rank each of the quarterbacks, which is not something I've done enough.
Well, he's done sure in top three, top two.
He's top half of the conference. I can tell you that.
Jalen Daniels, we haven't really seen play this year. I don't think he even put
Dylan Gabriel's been number one at this point.
Yeah.
Even if I put him two, it's not like it's a dominant two. It's a. I guess he's. But I don't. I'm not gonna say a number because I don't. I can't do it off the cuff right now. I just can't. I don't. He's been fine.
I will say I like Quinn Ewers, the new Quinn Ewers, not like his appearance, just his new demeanor, his new outlook, his new approach, his new attitude. Like, there's nothing wrong with what he was previously. I'm not going to bash a college kid ever for anything. I'm really impressed. I feel like he's matured. I feel like he's grown up. I don't know. I am very impressed with the new 2023 Quinn Ewers. I'm not even talking about the football player. I'm just talking about all intents and purposes from everything I've been able to gather, interviews and all that stuff. Just seems like a different guy this year, and I like seeing that. I think he's grown a lot, kind of off the field, which is cool to see for student athletes.
Tell you what, we'll just go off of PFF, which, take that with a grain of salt. He's fifth behind Gabriel, Jalen Daniels, John Rhys Plumlee, and Garrett Green. So I don't know. Why is there receiving grades for a quarter? Good Lord, PFF. I love you, but sometimes just weird. All right. Let's move on down to the game that we affectionately refer to as the battle for the tent trophy. If you don't know about the tent gate, when it comes to Baylor and Iowa State, go Google it. It's the dumbest thing in the world. And it's one of my favorite dumb trophies that I've ever made. Because it gets a good laugh every time we run it. Iowa State on the road at Baylor for a 2:30 kick. At the moment, Iowa State, a 2.5-point road favorite. Total is 47.5. I think I see a 47, if that suits your fancy. I believe it's me first. Good boy. All right, let me just roll through the random notes that I have selected here. Battle for the Tent Trophy. Iowa State is 6-9 as a road favorite since 2019. Nice. Iowa State only has 5 turnovers all year. Baylor has won the turnover battle in their 3 victories, 4-2. The Iowa State defense. Look, here's the deal. Iowa State secondary, really good. I do think it is a very solid secondary and a good defense again every year. John Heacock, good defense. Just copy-paste. Baylor prefers to pass the ball against Iowa State secondary. That's going to be a problem, even at home. And I think Baylor leaned more into the pass last week. As Grayson said, he thought that they would have a different look last week against Cincinnati. They came out and they passed the ball more and well and changed things up. This is also, I love when somebody who does something awful matches up against someone who is also awful at defending that thing. That would be the Iowa State run game, which is not good. 113th nationally in raw EPA per rush. Baylor's defense is 130th in raw EPA per rush. They're out of 133 FBS teams. So Baylor's not good against the run. Iowa State's not a great running team, but they have been running the ball better in Big 12 play. All of this leads me to one simple conclusion. Iowa State's the better team. I get it for less than 3 points. Yeah, give me Iowa State -2.5. Daniel.
Iowa State was bet almost immediately when this line opened. I think it opened Baylor +1, 1.5, something like that. And it was just hammered. I mean, for 24 hours straight, it was bet to a pick 'em, bet to Iowa State -1. I think it was Monday morning. I was working the board when I saw it happen. It's like whole board lights up out to 2, and then you get out to 2.5, and it's like, crap, Iowa State's taking some real money here. It's also at a time when limits are lower, so it's like, you know, are people setting this thing up? And now we've got it juiced up 2.5 to where it's like, man, if this, you know, if one group sends a release or something this week, they're going to push this thing to a full 3. If Baylor's +3, I'm probably going to get involved with Baylor. We sort of called it last week, right, against Cincinnati. That was almost comical that Cincinnati was favored the way they were when you looked at how they were playing, but, right. That's in the past now. We're moving forward. Baylor's sitting here as a 2.5-point dog at home. Iowa State's been playing well. They had their own great game against Cincinnati. They're also off a bye week here. It's a tough spot. I guess this is another situation where it's like everything screams Iowa State. The line has moved to Iowa State. This is either going to be an Iowa State blowout or this is a Baylor straight-up win. That's what happens here. This isn't some little 3-point game or something. Iowa State wins this thing by like 14, or Baylor goes and wins it by 7. I'm going to ride with Baylor here just because something doesn't feel right about this line move. If this thing got nailed back to a pick'em or something later in the week, I wouldn't be shocked at all. So my raw line is a pick'em. I don't know that Baylor has any home field. Probably not. You know, nothing Iowa State can't handle, so. Baylor 2.5.
I show that Circa when they put out the graphic, because I tweet it out every Sunday around 1:20 when it drops, had Baylor opening as a 3-point favorite in this game.
No, come on, man.
I have is the information. Ashton
says they were a 2.5-point favorite.
Okay. So I got 1.5, which is still, I mean, and, you know, we're talking about a 4-point swing. So again, you know, 2.5, 1.5. You know, we're talking 4.5, 5-point swing from the open. That's a big deal. So, and now you had me pull it up here. People have even been hitting it to 2.5. So maybe some info's out there. Maybe someone knows something about, you know, Baylor's going to announce a ton of guys out or something. But if that's the case, I'm screwed. Something just doesn't feel right about this short line. I think Baylor wins this game straight up.
Chris?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see this go to three. You know, efficiency has us closer to Iowa State, almost a touchdown favorite. So I'd be interested to see what Kelly's numbers are here because that's, I mean, it's interesting. It's also kind of a weird thing where, I mean, transitive wins, we all know it doesn't mean anything, but they're both teams share their most recent opponent, Cincinnati. Iowa State has the, you know, the bye week, but they win that game by 20. Baylor weeks by three, just a week ago. So, transitive wins doesn't mean much, but that is kind of interesting to look at. I like Iowa State to cover this. Yeah. Give me the Clones 2.5.
Kelly?
Well, do I even have to answer? If Chris is on Iowa State minus 2.5, you know that's where I'm going, Philip. No, I mean, seriously, my takeaway here is, hey, guys, next time we do this, let's record on Sunday at 1:30 because my number is like Iowa State by 4.5. I mean, geez, that's a 7.5-point swing from where this game opened, and it crosses zero. Like, that's, I mean, geez, I don't know if I'm missing something or if Vegas was missing something when they opened or what. Like Daniel was talking about, maybe some info out there. I don't know. But my number was Iowa State minus 4.5 from the beginning. So that's where I am. I'll take Iowa State minus 2.5 in the pick here. Iowa State by far has the best unit in this game. Their defense is number 14 nationally. Guys, the other unit ranks in this game, Iowa State offense, it is a season best, but it's number 79 overall. For Baylor, the offense is 78 and the defense is 83. Like, something sticks out like a sore thumb here. It's the Iowa State defense that's at number 14. That alone, to me, is enough to cover 2.5. Like, that discrepancy right there on that one side of the ball is enough to cover 2.5 here, even though they're on the road. Iowa State is coming off the bye. Chris, I was going to make the same comment about just interesting scheduling quirk. Both of these teams' most recent opponent is not just Cincinnati, on the road at Cincinnati. Like, that doesn't happen very often. Mm-hmm. And so just an interesting note there, but not actionable, as you said. So yeah, give me Iowa State minus 2.5. My numbers like them by 4.5 in this game. And Iowa State, they only have one conference loss. Like, I'm not saying they're going to go make it to Arlington. Like, I don't think they will. But as long as they only have one conference loss, they remain in the picture. I've got them behind Oklahoma, Texas, Kansas State, and Oklahoma State right now. But hey, they got this game. My numbers make them a 1-point favorite at home against Kansas, a 1-point favorite at BYU. It's conceivable Iowa State is entering week 12, a home game against Texas, with still only one loss. Now, my numbers make them a 15.5-point underdog in each of their final two games, so it likely doesn't last all the way through, but Iowa State's a team, just keep an eye on it. If the offense can get it figured out, which they haven't all year or in recent years, but if they can get it figured out here and match that defense, they're still in this thing. So in this game, Iowa State minus 2.5.
I want to ask Daniel a question here. So we've seen with Vegas, sometimes we see these lines that seem very suspicious, and they get hammered on one side because the line seems off, but it still doesn't move. And lo and behold, the game plays and it was a trap game or whatever. But here we're seeing the line move. I mean, the line seemed off and it seems like kind of suspicious, but the line is moving. Does that, like, is there a stuff factor there? Like,
Yeah. So there are enough, respected accounts. There are, you know, all of these books, to varying degrees, have accounts that move lines. You know, there's some guys that can go in and bet $1,000 or $2,000 and move a line, you know, off of three or, you know, one or, you know, half point, 1 point, stuff like that. And then, you know, if Joe Public walks in and you got a bunch of guys betting $100 a game, $50 a game, you know, 1,000 guys in a row, they're just going to leave the line right where it is. So yeah, in this case, you know, I would just surmise that enough respected books and enough places, Circa probably being one of them, took some real deal money from respected accounts early on when this line opened to make them say, hey, we better adjust this. We're getting information from the market, from sources that we think are maybe as correct as we are, or maybe, you know, winning accounts that are respected, and we better adjust this line.
Nice.
Yep.
If I'd known what Chris and Kelly were going to do, I would have rode with the over on this one, because I think the over is the right side as far as the total goes. And all right. Well, congrats, Daniel, on that win as well. That's two wins we've gifted Daniel this week. Man, this is, you know, it's good to keep things even. It's good to keep things.
We're really going to test that theory.
It's getting tested this week. Yeah, we have three on ones this week. So far through five games. Let's see what happens in our last Big 12 game on the schedule, Oklahoma State, our lone night game in the Big 12. This one will be on ESPN2 at 7 p.m. God's time. Oklahoma State hosting Cincinnati. This is homecoming in Stillwater. Daniel, you're up first. What would you like?
Man, I've got a feeling.
Oh, wait. I forgot to tell the lines. Sorry. Ha ha. JK. OSU about a 7.5-point favorite across the board. Total is pretty much a consistent 53.
I have a feeling we might run into another game here where a lot of people are on one side. Look, I like what Gundy's done with this team. I think we talked about it before we hit record, but, you know, Oklahoma State has really improved these last 3 weeks. And I talked about it last week. Cincinnati is not a team I believe in. They're crazy spiraling right now. My raw line on this game is Oklahoma State -6.5. So the line's probably about right on, you know, maybe a touch of home field, maybe 7.5. Cincinnati, I mean, you guys probably know better than I do. Have they ever played at this stadium? Have they ever traveled here to Oklahoma State, played at the stadium?
No, they played one time in the Blue Bonnet Bowl back. I'm going to find it. I think it's in like the 40s. So, no.
Okay. So, it's like, yeah, we've got, you know, hey, we've got travel that these kids have never done. Even this staff, you know, hasn't been here to prepare a team for this game. I mean, just this is just a case of two teams going in totally different directions as far as I'm concerned. Oklahoma State's playing with some grit. Cincinnati can sort of hang around, but it just feels like I mean Baylor isn't even that tough of a team, and they sort of did whatever they wanted to. I mean, this is Oklahoma State -7.5, which guarantees that Cincinnati's going to win straight up. So there you go, give it to me, Oklahoma State.
I will note that to be accurate, Cincinnati has played in Stillwater before.
Okay,
1959.
Got it. Okay. Well, all right. Okay. You got me on a technicality there.
Chris.
Yeah. I said last week I wasn't going to take Oklahoma State at all anymore this season, because if I'm wrong, then, you know, I win anyway being an Oklahoma State fan. The Cowboys have impressed me these last 3 weeks. It's almost unbelievable for a team the first 3 weeks of the season to look like they might be the worst team in the Big 12, to then 3 weeks later look like maybe they're the third best team in the Big 12. I mean, clearly Texas and OU are the front runners, but behind that, I mean, it could be Oklahoma State. Ollie Gordon has just put this team on his back. The guy's a beast. He's just a legit running back. Could play and start for almost any team in the country. So whether or not I believe in Gundy or this team or whatever, I believe in Gordon. He's just unbelievable. He's really turned it on. The problem is Cincinnati's run defense is actually pretty legit, averaging just giving up 100 yards a game. So they're going to – this Oklahoma State turnaround has started with the run game. So they're going to have to establish that against Cincinnati. The advantages being at home, homecoming. You know, this is going to be a pretty good environment. Oklahoma State's seats are very, very tight to the field. The paddle people, all that will be different for Cincinnati. And efficiency, I think, has this closer to Oklahoma State -11. And I'm not sure that, I mean, I think the first 3 weeks of that kind of play into it a little bit. So that might not even be, you know, how they're recently playing. Oh, I'm going to take a flyer. I said I wasn't going to do it, but I think I'm going to change my mind here. I'm going to take Oklahoma State to cover the 7.5, because I feel like this is probably closer to a 10-point game.
Kelly?
I hate that it just happened, but we're finally going to have a disagreement, which means one of us, Chris, could, at least in the Big 12 segment, finish dead last on our own. I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to take Cincinnati +7.5. Listen, I don't feel good about it. My numbers make this Oklahoma -7. So, I mean, there's like no value.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's like no value in this game for me here, but I'll take Cincinnati and the 7.5. My numbers, this is the best I've had Oklahoma State power rated all year at number 42. If I look at the Cincinnati power rating page, it's a lot of red right now, guys. I mean, this team has lost 5 in a row. So that's in and of itself not great. From a power rating standpoint, they're at 0.3 raw rating. That's the worst they've been all year. Number 61 corresponding ranking. That's the worst they've been all year. The defense is number 59. That's the lowest they've been all year. The good news for Cincinnati is typically when I see that much red across that single row, it usually bounces back a little bit the next week. It's rare to see it just consistently falling unless the bottom's fallen out, which, you know, at this point, maybe the bottom's fallen out of Cincinnati if you've lost 5 games in a row. My numbers don't make the Bearcats a favorite in any of their remaining games. This one proving to be, or projecting to be, their most difficult of the remaining slate, though. So Oklahoma State, hey, they're riding high. They've won 3 in a row. Cincinnati, they've lost 5 in a row. These trends are going in opposite directions. Maybe it's a time that Cincinnati can cover the spread here. I don't feel great about it because I don't think there's a lot of value in this one based on my line. But Oklahoma State, advantage on both sides of the ball. They're at home. Cincinnati, hey, we said it. They're 1-0 in Stillwater all time with that win coming in 1959. So who knows? Maybe they can recapture the magic from all those years ago. Give me Cincinnati plus 7.5.
South Point has an 8. So congratulations. You get
Cincinnati. Hey, there we go. I'll take that. Thank you.
I am not touching the spread because, as Chris noted, I think Oklahoma State should cover this by 10. Oklahoma State is going to win this game. Mike Gundy is 12-5.
Oh, Lord. Please knock on wood.
Hold on. Oklahoma State is 12-5 in homecoming with Mike Gundy as the head coach. They didn't have homecoming in 2020. It's 12-3 since 2007 because he lost his first two. And they played bad teams and they played good teams. It doesn't matter. They get up for homecoming. Yes, I know. Bedlam is next week. I don't believe Gundy's comment of, oh, it's next week. We didn't realize it was next week. Bull, hockey, nonsense. I'm not going to play look ahead because Oklahoma State typically does well the week before Bedlam. And I don't think because it has anything to do with Bedlam. And because Gundy is way too even keel about Bedlam, I think he does it to make sure his team doesn't get too high or too low. But homecoming is going to be something to be excited about. Cincinnati has a good defensive line. They could slow Ollie Gordon down. I think that's going to benefit the Oklahoma State passing game. Cincinnati plays fast. They put up a lot of yards that don't matter. They also tend to put up a lot of garbage stats when playing from behind. By the way, there's some rain in the forecast for this game. I'm taking the over. I fear the Cincinnati backdoor cover in this game. I don't know why. I just do. I see OSU up by 14 in the fourth quarter. Cincinnati, they've put in the backups because Gundy doesn't care about blowing teams out. They load up in the backups for the last 2 minutes, and Cincinnati has a nice 2-minute touchdown drive to cover, and OSU wins by 7 in a game where they really won by two scores. So I'm staying away from that. The best number I see, oh, bless you, Circa. I love you so much. I have a 52 at Circa, and I'm going to take it. I'm taking over 52 in this game.
Real quick, I wanted to add, because we both mentioned this about homecoming. It's a real thing in Oklahoma State, just to throw that out there. It's a big celebration all weekend long, starting with walk-arounds. Greek life gets really involved with house decks. There's a parade with floats. Homecoming at Oklahoma State is bigger than it is at most schools. So I mean, somebody out there might not think homecoming is a big deal. And in some schools, it's really not. It's just kind of a formality. But at Oklahoma State, it's a big thing. They celebrate it. And that's probably why they've had so much success on homecoming weekend.
They take homecoming seriously. They just do. Like it. I know everyone says their homecoming is a big deal. I get it. Mm-hmm. But like, there are places where homecoming is like, there's some places where it's all about your one rivalry game. Or your one marquee game. For OSU, yeah, there's Bedlam every year. It is about homecoming. And they care about winning that game a lot. All right. We wrap this up the same way we do every week. We look at a non-Big 12 pick. Everyone can pick any game on the board against the spread, total. If you want to just pick a dog straight up, you're welcome to do so. It doesn't give you anything extra, but you can. No one's done it yet. I might at some point. I believe that Chris is up first here. Sir, What's your non-Big 12 pick this week?
Yeah, so after the last couple of weeks haven't been great, I just got to go back to basics. And basics for me is just riding with Coastal Carolina. I mean, Marshall's 2-5 against the spread on the road at Coastal Carolina, who's 5-2 against the spread. I haven't really leaned on them a whole lot this year. But Marshall's a 4-point favorite. Efficiency stats have this a much closer game, a little bit tighter, a little closer to heads up. So I'm going to take Coastal Carolina, and I'm not going to take the money line, but I do think they get the win.
This thing is driving me nuts. I'm trying to find the line. Why are you being this way, VSIN?
I'm seeing four.
Yeah, I saw the four last.
The only option is what I see.
Great. All right. So plus four. Great. Because I cannot. I literally, it's not.
Yes.
It's not my friend. So yeah, I'm gonna take your word for you.
It is plus four.
I'm gonna take your word. I'm gonna trust you here because VSIN sucks right now. Kelly.
I'm tempted to do what you said no guest has done yet this year and take an underdog as money line. I know Riley Leonard's hurt and potentially not playing or won't play. My number still like Duke by about one in that game. So I do think if I was going to do that, I would. I won't do it though. I just had to put it out there. Watch, now they will actually win and my pick won't. But I'm actually going to go to the Mountain West. I'm intrigued by this Mountain West race just overall. I think it's a really good race and there's a lot of teams still in it here. Air Force clearly still undefeated is the favorite, but a lot of teams still vying for that second spot. I'm going to go with Fresno State. I think I'm seeing the line Fresno State -7.5. I don't like the hook, obviously, but my numbers make this closer to Fresno State -10. I think there's a couple advantages here. I think Fresno State, you know, they're coming off of an off week. UNLV is not. UNLV won a 2-point game at home last week against Colorado State. I think Fresno State's got the advantage on both sides of the ball. UNLV is still in this conference race. I've talked about how like excited I am for it. I think it's great. Fresno State, Wyoming, UNLV, Boise State, even all these teams still in this thing. Boise plays Wyoming, UNLV plays Fresno State. So a big leverage week in the Mountain West. The winner here is going to have the inside track to that kind of second spot in the Mountain West championship game. I don't think UNLV is really that good though. Like I just don't. I have them power rated number 85, which is a season best, but they're 6-1 overall. They're 3-0 in the conference. Their only loss is on the road at Michigan, who now I have power rated number 1 in the country. So this team should be feeling really good about themselves, and I think they are. I just think Fresno's going to be, you know, the best team they played outside of Michigan. And they're off to go on the road. I don't see him covering even the 7.5. So it's just a feeling. My numbers do back it up. Give me Fresno State -7.5. I think they get it done by more than that. So that's where I'll go here, but keep an eye also on that ACC game. I think Duke, they might surprise some people. So just keep an eye on that one.
I will keep an eye on that one. I actually was looking at that game and potentially taking the under in Duke and Louisville. I'm not going to. I like trends. I know, you know, nothing lasts forever. But did you know that Vanderbilt is 8-0 to the over so far this season? That's a thing. And they're playing who? Oh, they're playing Ole Miss. That's right. They're playing Ole Miss. And I know that it's a high total. It's 63.5. I keep looking everywhere. No one has anything lower than that I can find. That's a lot of points to score. Not a lot of value in that. I don't care. Give me the over 63.5 in Vandy Ole Miss. I'm just going to ride with what's something that's continued to happen all season long. Going to expect it to happen again. Daniel?
I get a spot here that only comes around. Actually, I got two spots that I love that is stacked up on one game, and this is such an ugly, awful game. So last week, I don't know if you remember, we took Charlotte because they were they were a conference visitor off being shut out. That now moves to 79-52-3 since 2006. Charlotte covered, and on the year, that spot is now 3-0. So conference visitors after being shut out. UMass fits that bill this week. What happens is they fit that as +10 against an Army team. That this spot only comes around. Sorry, I got to pull it up here. It only comes around every couple of years. Army has not scored for two games in a row. Straight up, they've been shut out two games in a row. So when you have a team that has been shut out two games in a row, no matter what their spread is for the next game, they are 0-11 against the spread since. If they're +21 to -1,000, right? So if they're anywhere in that bubble, from two games of being shut out. They're 0-11 since 2006. And so you're telling me I've got an Army team that has to cover 10 points against a Massachusetts team that's been shut out, two great spots that I love colliding, 10-point dog in a 48-point game. We got spread differential. We got, you know, a low total road dog. It's got every single angle we love, UMass plus 10.
That is bravo, sir. That is some true college football sicko level nonsense. And I love you for it. I applaud you. That's fantastic. Goodness. Those are the two most random things I've ever seen. And Army. Okay. Yeah, that's great. You guys are, I love this. This is so much fun. This has been awesome. I appreciate everybody. Kelly, do me a favor, plug it all, sir. Where can everybody find out all the incredible stuff that you do covering college football?
Yeah, I appreciate it, Philip. Really, this is so much fun. I always love coming on the 1012 Network, talking with you, Chris, Daniel. It's just excellent. So you can find me on X at KFord Ratings, the website, kfordratings.com. Really, everything that I used to discuss these games here during this recording, I got from the website. It's stuff that I'm posting on the website. So check me out in those places. That's got all my content. I'm also over at thelines.com, writing a couple articles every single week, doing a college football podcast over there. So between all those areas, that should get you covered. But I really appreciate it, Philip. This is such a fun podcast to join. You're such a great host. And I just love the Big 12. And it's been a fun last couple years of the last Big 12 versions that we've known. And this is kind of a one hit wonder year and trying to enjoy it, because who knows what the future holds, but I know next year's 16 and I'm really excited. So just excited for you, excited for this podcast, and always enjoy coming on.
Appreciate it, man. You can find Daniel on Twitter at DannerB7, DannerB7. Slack chat going strong.
Oh man, we're going wild. NBA just started last night. So firing picks, NHL monster slate last night. I mean, this is the busy time of the year. These next two or three months are just, it's as good as it gets for sports betting.
Well, college basketball is almost here, and that's where you make your bread and butter right there.
Yeah. So, that's where I get to move out of the car.
You know, after two straight years, we talked about how to get picks from you during basketball season. In two straight years, I have failed tremendously to do so. We're going to figure something out here. We're going to figure something out. Big 12 picks. Patreon, 1012 Network Patreon. Go sign up, support the podcast that you love the most from the 1012 Network, and we'd appreciate it. You can check out the Patreon, links in the bio. Of course, we are on Twitter at 1012 Network, TEN, the number 12, the word network. Same handle on Blue Sky, 1012 Pod on Instagram and Threads. If you're listening on YouTube, please do us a favor, like this video, leave us a comment, subscribe. We would appreciate it. If you are listening out there in podcast land, leave us a 5-star rating and a review. It's been a little while. I need to go check to see if I have some reviews to read. Maybe we'll do that on Monday. We would greatly appreciate it. We will be back on Monday to review the weekend that was and look ahead to the week that will be. Enjoy the games, everybody.
Podcast Network.